puts him in a different category than all the other prophets of old. Thank God for the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, or Genesis to the maps. In the back of your Bible, you might have some maps. It's all God's word. But nobody holds the level of worship and the level of authority and the level of truth that Jesus does. Jesus would trump anything, it said in the Bible, because Jesus is God. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't Jeremiah. He wasn't Ezekiel. Wasn't Daniel. Wasn't Moses telling us about God. He's actually God coming on the scene. In fact, he would even say things like, well, the law, you know, concerning him, the Bible says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we didn't get the full truth about God until Jesus came. If all we had was the Old Testament, we'd just get a partial truth, pieces of truth. But when Jesus comes along, we get the full truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. He is not just an image. He is the express image. He is not just a picture of God. He is the fullness of God bodily, is what the Bible says. You know, you can't compare him to anybody. You can't, you know, just compare his words with Jeremiah's words, with Ezekiel's words, with Moses' words. It just doesn't work that way. Jesus is the final authority on everything. And sometimes those words do contradict. I got that. I understand the Old Testament is a partial revelation of God. It's God's word, but it wasn't the full revelation of God. It was impossible. No one could be saved under the Old Testament. No one could be saved through the law of Moses. No one could be, if there had been a law, Acts 13:39 tells us this. If there had been a law, Acts 13:39 says, this man Jesus has justified you from all things from which you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Which you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. You can't be that good. You cannot do all the commandments. You cannot keep all the laws written in the Bible of Moses and go to heaven. You're just not that good. Sorry to pop your bubble. Hello. But you need to get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. We're not perfect. He's perfect. Are you with? That's not an excuse to sin. I need to repent when I sin. But I'm not going to heaven because I am doing everything perfectly. I'm going to heaven because I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? And Paul says that had there been a law, Galatians, he said if there had been a law that could have given eternal life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But there was not a law that could give that. You ever notice even the Ten Commandments, there's not one commandment that tells you if you'll do this, you'll miss hell and go to heaven. No, there's not one commandment that says that. Just telling the truth won't get you to heaven. Hello? I mean, you ought to tell the truth. Are you out there? And keeping the shalt nots, you know, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Just not doing all that won't get you to heaven. That stuff's bad. It's bad for you. That's why he says don't do it. And the things he tells you to do, the things you ought to do because it's good for you, God's just trying to bless you. He's trying to help you. But there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen? So that's pretty plain. Jesus didn't show us a way. He didn't give us a plan. He didn't guide us. He didn't lead us. He was a guide. He was a leader. He was a teacher. But we didn't need a better teacher. We didn't need a better guide. Are you with me? We didn't need a better example. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. And that's what Jesus did. Had a lot of guides, a lot of leaders, a lot of teachers. No one like Jesus. No one better than Jesus, no doubt. But we didn't need a better teacher. We needed a Savior. Hallelujah. And we got one. Jesus. And he came to save us. Hallelujah. And he did. He saved us from our sins. And he's the truth about God. You know, we've getting shades and hues and shadows and and just pictures of God all through the Old Testament, never really the complete picture. You know, we kind of get the idea God's behind all the bad stuff, but you know, God's not behind the bad stuff. He's really not. Never has been. In fact, Job even tells us that. Job didn't know what the writer of Job knew. You ever notice that when somebody's writing about something or someone, the author knows and the writer knows more than the people in the play, right? Well, the author, the writer of Job, tells us the devil did what he did to Job. Job turns around and says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When whoever wrote Job, we don't know who wrote it, told us at the very beginning it wasn't God that did it. It was the devil that did it. Hello. So the author of the Bible knows things that the writers of the Bible didn't know. And the author of the Bible is Jesus. He's the theme of the Bible. He's the crux of the Bible. He's what the whole Bible is about. In fact, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but there they testify me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Jesus comes on the scene. He clears up all this junk that we often have, this idea that God's behind everything that goes on in the world, and God's doing the bad, doing the good, God's making sick, God's healing, God's killing, God's raising the dead. He just gets frantic. He's just a bipolar God. You never know what he's going to do. You know, we have medication for that, you know, down here. But Jesus comes along, he doesn't do any of that. He just does one thing. He just helps people. He just gives life, and he just heals, and he just stops storms and starts them. He just gives to the poor, didn't take away. He just raises the dead. He doesn't kill them. Interesting. And he says, he that seen me has seen the Father. And he said, I only do what I see my Father do. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. And he tells the Lord, even when he's talking to his Father, he said, I have declared your name. I have fully declared you. Now, he didn't give us one side of God. He didn't give us just a shadow of God, a piece of God. He's the fullness of God. He's the express image of God's person. Are you with me? No one has ever declared him like Jesus has. We've never seen a clearer picture of God than we see in Jesus. And yet, Jesus never did any of those things often that we say he did. And we know better than we think we know anyway. You never have anybody come down here and say, well, for instance, Betty comes up here with all these allergies and says, you know, I know this is not right. We need to pray. Obviously, we're all for that. We all agree with that. But you never had anybody come up and says, you know, I just want to, y'all need to pray for me, because every year comes around here, springtime, the flowers come out and allergies go out, and I've never gotten sick, and I just need to pray. Y'all need to pray for me that I get sick, because there's just got to be something wrong with me that I'm feeling so good. Could you pray for me that I would just get a headache or something? I don't know. It's just not right. I'm just feeling great. I'm feeling wonderful. Could you pray for me that God would make me sick? You ever had that? I've never had anybody ask me that. Never. Or here's one. Hey, man, I seem like every time I get into a business deal, I make all this money. I don't know what the deal is. Just money just coming everywhere, and I'm just giving it away as fast as I can give away. I cannot give away fast enough. I got so much money, I can't have to go to different banks to put it in different banks, because goodness, they won't insure it at this one bank. Could you pray that God would just destroy my businesses and take away all my money? Hello. See, we know more than we think we do, don't we? As soon as somebody gets sick, we're in the hospital. As soon as somebody has some problem, we call, get people to pray. Because, you know, it's not supposed to be that way. It is that way, but it's not supposed to be that way. There's something wrong with the world. I understand that. I'm in it. I live in it just like you do. But, you know, we're in a battle down here. And we're not fighting God. Are you with me? We're fighting this world, this broken world that we live in. And it's been broken ever since Adam sinned. It wasn't originally that way. When God made it, he made it good. Go read it. It's an old story. It's in the Bible. It's called Genesis. It's amazing how you get your thinking cleared up when you read the Bible. But anyway, when Adam sinned, that's when death entered the world. Paul talks about it in Romans 5. When Adam sinned, through sin came death, and death is reign. Are you with me? It's reigning ever since. And so what did Jesus come to undo? What did Jesus come to fix? Think about it. When he hit the earth and walked the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum, and, you know, he'd go through city after city and village after village, what kind of changes did he make? What did he adjust or readjust or fix? What was broken that he made right? It was sickness that he healed. It was sin that he forgave. It was death that he raised. It was a storm that he stopped. Are you out there? And what did he commission his disciples to do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. In other words, there's a new king come. There's a new kid on the block. Hallelujah. There's going to be some changes going to be made around here. There's a new ruler in town. There's a new king in town. Jesus has come to the earth. Are you with me? Things are going to be different. There's a battle going on. One day it's all going to be changed, and I know how it's going to end up. Now's the time to choose a side, not when it's over. Hello. I've chosen the winning team. I've chosen Jesus. He wins this deal. But it's a daily battle right now. We're here, and he's in heaven, and we're here to continue the fight. We continue it through prayer. We continue it through holy living. We continue it through lifting up one another. In fact, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Are you with me? See, when you look through the scripture, we're commissioned to go change something, fix something. And what we're commissioned to change and fix is the bad stuff. Because the bad stuff's not God. The bad stuff's the devil. Oh, yeah. I'm going to bring the devil in here, the fork and the pointed tail and the horns and everything. You know, I don't know if he has the horns. I don't know if he has a fork either. But he's the devil, and he's bad, and he's against God, and he's the one behind all that stuff. And he got an inroad in here when Adam sinned. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and many times when Jesus would heal someone, very plainly the Bible says it was the devil that made the person sick. Acts 10:38. I think about that one. Did I ever tell you to turn anywhere?
No.
Mm. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Turn to Mark 3. Mark 3rd chapter, and just hold it there. I'm not through yet. What did I say? Acts 10:38? Yeah, Acts 10:38. Listen, I'm just rolling right now. I'm just treading water or getting at the edge of the diving board, fixing to jump. Pray there's water in a pool. No, I'm setting you up and getting you to think about it, you know. You know, the Bible says don't think of yourself too highly, but it didn't say don't think. We need to think, okay? Think about what you believe. Think about what you're saying. Many times somebody gets sick and they'll say, God just trying to teach himself. I wonder what's wrong with Betty that God put that allergies on her and does it every single year, because God's put this on her every year, right, to teach her something. And what a slow learner. Here she is fighting this thing again, still hadn't figured out what it is God trying to teach her. No, God not trying to teach Betty anything. Are you with me? And Dr. Galloway fell and it was in the hospital, and just been going back and forth here in the last few months and just had a real rough time. But, you know, he's just so sinful and so wicked and evil that God just keeps breaking his legs and everything else, you know, and just throwing him in there, and of course he didn't break his leg. But, I mean, come on. Well, Travis, there's a good one. Travis. Travis has had a kidney transplant, had a pancreas transplant. Is that right? Yeah. And then just fighting that diabetes left and right. Travis is just an evil, evil person. I mean, you know, he has sins. You have no idea God's working out in him because all that stuff he's putting on him. How cruel. Think about it. How cruel. Listen, this is a fallen world we live in. There's a lot of things going on God has nothing to do with. God's very plain about it. He told us that. We're not in heaven. He told us to pray his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Why do we have to pray for his will to be done down here if he's doing everything? He's not doing everything. That's why he tells us to pray that his will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We don't pray for heaven. We don't pray for anything to be done up there because God is up there. Are you with me? He is ruling up there. Heaven hasn't fallen. It's not broken. This world's fallen. It's broken. And Jesus came to a broken world, and we're in a broken world, and we need to pray for one another. Are you out there? So it's not God teaching you something. Are you kidding me? That's so random. That makes no sense whatsoever. Put your See, when you come into church, don't stop at the door and check your brain out. Bring it in with you. Come on, let's think about this. I know people don't even know the Lord that get sick and they die. What did they learn? I know people that are sick their whole lives and die. What did they learn? They never learned anything. I know people who had a relative in their family died and they went to the funeral and got saved. I know people who had a relative in their family died and went to the funeral and got mad at God and got out of church and died out of church. One of them got better. One of them got bitter. See, those are choices you and I make. That's not God manipulating you with other people. Why would God kill one person to get you saved? See, someone already died for you to be saved. His name's Jesus.
Right.
Nobody else has to die for you to be saved.
Amen.
Your uncle doesn't have to die sick for you to get saved. No, 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 no. You say, well, how am I going to get saved? By believing the gospel, the good news. Well, I know God took me down that broken road. No, actually, you took the broken road. You took the detour. God had a straight road, and you are the one that jumped off the road. And God in his mercy got you back, but he didn't take you down that broken road. You took it. Hello. I went through drugs and jails, got kicked out of high school, got put in jail, you know, well, more than one jail. But, I mean, I got in trouble, got in sin, and God didn't put me through that. God didn't make me do that. I did that. Are you all that time, God's arms were out. He was saying, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He had his arms out saying, come on home, son. Come on, come to me. Turn around. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Hello. But I have a will, see, and I rebelled against God. God didn't make me rebel against him. He didn't do that to me. Now, he turned it around, and God's unique about that. He can turn things around. Hallelujah. If you'll repent, if you'll turn around, he can bring good out of evil. I understand that. That's good. But you got to call on him, because all evil is not turned into good. All evil situations and bad situations, only the ones that call on God. Amen? Because you can think of all kinds of tragedies in your life that God delivered you from and delivered you out of and so on and so forth. Now you have a testimony and thank God, you know, you came to him. But for every one of us that does that, there's 10 out there that never called on God, that actually died and never got a testimony. That wasn't God. That was just the devil. And thank God you call on God and you won. Hallelujah. Which is what God wants us to do. Amen. Where did I tell you to turn to, Mark? Good. That's one of my favorite books. I have 66 favorite books. Well, Jesus is doing what he normally does. He's casting out devils, you know, and healing the sick. And some people like it. Some people don't. The religious people had a problem with it, just like they do today. I don't think anybody in the world had a problem you healing, you know, laying hands on somebody and then getting healed, or somebody walking out of a wheelchair, or somebody have a testimony. But you would have some problems in some churches. I mean, really, you pray for somebody and they get a miracle and everybody's excited about it, and then there'll be always be some church that just think you're just of the devil for doing that. And they'll say things like, well, you know, the devil heals, you know. And I go, no, I didn't know that. What scripture is that? Hello. I never read where the devil healed. You ever read where the devil healed anybody? I never read that in the Bible anywhere. In fact, it was Jesus. Yeah. Jesus healed them. Okay? Not the devil. But, you know, they accused Jesus of the same thing. In fact, right here in the third chapter of Mark, 11 verse says, and the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. And he sternly warned them that they should not make him known, because he just cast them out. You know, he didn't listen to devils, and you don't need to listen to them either. You ever run across somebody demon-possessed? I've seen people write books on what demons supposedly told them. They cast demons out of this guy. This devil said he'd been in there for five generations, and, you know, he said he got in through his great-great-great-grandmother because she'd done this sin or that. I'm thinking, well, first of all, the devil lies. How could you believe anything the devil said? And the Bible did not say, in my name thou shalt talk to devils. It says, in my name you'll cast out devils. And I'm not talking about your mother-in-law. I'm not talking about your husband or your wife. Let's don't get confused here. So anyway, Jesus did that. He healed the sick, raised the dead, did a lot of that, cast some devils out. And then he called his disciples to him and gave them power to do all this. And when he comes off this prayer meeting, there were some people who thought he was lost his mind. They thought he was mad. And you'd probably think that of some preachers today too, if they did some of these things that Jesus did. And we should be doing what he did. Amen. 21st verse, but when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. He's absolutely lost it. I mean, he's casting devils out, he's healing people and jerking people out of graves and giving them life, and this is just not right. And the scribes, 22nd verse, when they came down from Jerusalem, they said, he has Beelzebub, that's the devil, ruler of devils, and by the ruler of demons, he cast out demons. Well, they went a step further and said that it wasn't even God doing it, it was the devil doing it. That's pretty bad, isn't it? They're talking about your Lord, my Lord Jesus, okay? And they're saying Jesus is doing what he's doing by the power of the devil. Wow. Well, that's just devil. That's demonic. That healing's, I remember witnessing one time, I was witnessing to a couple, somebody I knew, actually a lady I'd gone to school with, and I was down in Houston working on a construction job, and her husband was there with me. And I talked to him and his wife, you know, coming to church, and they had a little baby that had something wrong with them. And so we went to Lakewood Church. John Osteen was a pastor at that time. And she went down the prayer line and got healed. The baby got healed. It was just amazing. And I was back on the job, and I was talking to a minister of another type church, Christian church, like, you know, we are a Christian church. There's a lot of good churches. We're for Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, Catholic. We may not agree on everything, but we're for them because we agree on a whole lot more we disagree on. I'll tell you, if you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, Catholic, Church of Christ, Assembly of God, whatever, or International Outreach Church, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that he was born of a Virgin Mary. We believe he lived a sinless, holy life. I believe he died, and I believe he rose again. And I believe he's seated at the right hand of God, and I believe he's coming one day to come get us again. That we all agree on. I believe he's the only way to heaven. There's no other way. But there's some other things we might disagree on. But those are the essentials. That's what gets us saved. That's what's going to take us to heaven. Are you with me? And I was sharing how I'd witnessed to this couple, to this minister that was working with me. We were working on a construction job. And he was getting all excited. Thought that was wonderful. I led this person to the Lord and prayed for him. And I said, yeah. And we took their baby to church with us. And baby had, you know, this thing wrong with him. And they laid hands on him at the front of the church. And they got healed. He looked at me like I was the devil incarnate. I'm not making this up. I mean, when I say these things, these aren't just funny jokes. They really happen. He looked at me and he says, well, you know the devil heals. Do you know that? I remember telling him, I says, no, I didn't know that. I was just innocent. You know, I was like 19, 20 years old. I was all excited about them getting saved and this girl getting healed. And he was a Christian and a minister in a church that I have a lot of respect for, you know. And I thought, what in the world? Where did that come from? And I found it. It's right here. It's where it comes from. The Pharisees said the same thing about Jesus. Hello? So I didn't realize the guy actually adhered to the Pharisees and the scribes instead of what Jesus said. But a lot of churches have done that. Did you know that? They're against healing. It's amazing to me how many churches really are against it. They're for it and against it. They think it's okay, but you don't need to be praying for one another and actually believing that God would do something. Are you with me? Now, we'll go to the hospital, that's fine, and I'm for hospitals, hallelujah, and for medicine. Man, I got snake bit, you know, just a little over a week ago, and I went straight to the hospital, fast as I get there. Hello, get that anti-venom and put it in me. I mean, I was praying too and believing and standing on a word, but I'm for anything that'll make me better. I believe the angel Lord and can't surround about those that fear him. I believe the angel Lord can't surround about my house, but I still lock my doors before I go to bed. Hello. I think we ought to do everything we can. We're on the same side. God's not against medicine or doctors or hospitals. He's for all that because we're all doing the same thing. But to say that God makes us sick and then go to the hospital, now that's a contradiction. To say that God's teaching us something, then take medicine, now you're fighting God now. Now you are a living contradiction. Because if God wanted you sick, who are you to try to get well? And spend your money to do it too. Trying to get yourself out of the will of God like that. What's wrong with you? He's trying to teach you something. You need to learn whatever it is he's trying to teach you and quit spending all that money going down that hospital trying to rebel against God with your money and your insurance. No, it's a good thing to try to get well. Amen. But here it says, he does this by the devil. That's an interesting way to say things because 23rd verse says, so he called them to himself and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? In other words, again, we're at church. Let's don't check our brain out. Let's bring it with us. Hey, guys, let's sit around. Let's talk about this a minute. Y'all heard that. I know you heard that. You heard what they said, that I was doing what I was doing by the devil. Well, let me ask you a question. That's what he does. He teaches by asking questions. He says, how can Satan cast out Satan? That's a good question. So I'm Satan casting out Satan. I'm casting Satan out by the power of Satan. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Right? Because they're fighting each other, you know. In other words, Satan made him sick, and then Satan's casting Satan out. Okay? Satan make him sick, and then Satan's healing him. That is divided. That's a divided kingdom. Those are opposing visions and missions and actions. So you have the devil making sick and the devil making them healed. No. The devil possessing, the devil casting out. No, that won't work. So he says, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan's risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house. Here's what happened. No man enters a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then he'll plunder his house. He's saying, I didn't do this by the power of the devil. I bound the devil up and took away his goods, which was this soul that he had possessed. I didn't do it by the power of the devil. I overcame the power of the devil with the power of God. Are you with me? Because that would be divided. We'll just flip that coin. If God made that person sick, then God can't come heal the person. Because a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus didn't come and destroy the works of God. He came and destroyed the works of the devil. 1 John 3rd chapter probably tells us that. It says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Isn't that what it says? Well, there, I'm quoting scripture. I know that confuses people when you do that. But the scripture's pretty plain on this subject, and we need to get it straight. See, you're going to have to rethink your thinking a lot of times, because many times you're going through something, you're thinking, what did I do? Maybe I did something wrong. Well, you know, if you did sin, repent of it. I got that. Sometimes you can bring stuff on yourself. It's not God punishing you for your sin. It's your sin punishing you for your sin. See, we're not just judged for our sins. We're judged by our sins. Sin has something built into it. It's whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If I jump off house, I hit ground. That's called gravity. Now, you can't blame God for that. That was you jumping off the house. And God told you if you jumped off the house, you'd hit the ground. He told you that, all right? He said, if you do this, this will happen. He said, if you do that, that will happen. If you do this, this will happen. There's a whole Bible full of instruction on what to do and what not to do. And he tells you the result of what you do. So you can't blame God for doing what he told you not to do. Amen? And you can't even blame him for the punishment. He's just telling you the way it works. If you're going to hate people, people are going to hate you. They're going to hate you, okay? You can't blame God because people hate you. You old mean, wicked thing. You need to repent. Are you out there? Now, having said that, maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Maybe just something random happened. And it does happen. You know, things just happen. Man, I'm telling you what. We live in an accident-prone world. You can make a mistake and get run over and killed in the highway. Do you know that? It wasn't God, and it wasn't the devil. It just bad decisions. I believe there's a reason for everything that happens. Sometimes it's our own dumb fault. Amen? But everything that happens is definitely not God, because the Bible tells us that. Some things are God, some things are devil, some things just you. Amen? And some things just this world that we live in. Everybody say broken world. Okay, that's where you live. You're not in heaven. If the world were right, and all were right with God, and the world were not broken, Jesus wouldn't come down and done anything. He'd just done nothing. He'd just come down here and sign autographs. I have come to visit you. Here I am. I'm God. But there was something wrong with the world, wasn't there? And there still is. There's still something wrong. But what's wrong with the world is not God. And we need to understand that. We're on God's side when we pray for people, when we love people, when we forgive people, when we help people. Amen? We're on God's side when we lift people and we encourage people. We're not working with God when we're discouraging people, we're hurting people, we're killing people. Are you with me? When we're stealing from people. We're on the devil's side then. And we got to stop that insanity. Jesus did what he did by the power of God. No sickness that you ever got was God. No. Because Jesus didn't turn anybody down sick and say, you know, I'd like to heal you, but in your case, God did that. I can't touch you. Jesus didn't go around going, singing that song, can't touch that. No, he healed everybody that came to him. And he never would reason with them and say, well, maybe there's something wrong with you. Maybe God just doesn't like you, Betty. I don't know, you know. You don't know about the Lord. I mean, you know, he's kind of picky. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? I mean, God loves us all. He loves everybody. You know, maybe God's just got something out for Dr. Galloway. That's why he's had such a bad time the last few months. I mean, God just, I don't know what it is. Something about you just makes him mad, Charlie. I don't know what it is. Well, wouldn't that be ridiculous to say that? God loves us all. He cares about us. He cares about you more than you care about yourself. He's wanting to help you. He's waiting for you to call on him. He's waiting for you to pray and seek his face and let him move in your behalf. Hallelujah. Mm. John 9, turn there. Is this helping anybody? I mean, this idea that somehow I'm just never going to make God happy, never please God, and God's just, you know, well, of course, God's holy. I got that. But, you know, God loves me. He's for me. He's not against me. And when things go wrong, there could be any number of reasons why it goes wrong. Sometimes it could be you, but most of the time it's just the world that we live in. Most of the time it's a bad decision on your part, you know. If I'm hammering with a hammer and I don't move my finger or put it in the wrong spot and hit my thumb, it wasn't God's will that that happened. I just wasn't paying attention. Really, it's that simple. Now, see, that hurt my thumb. There are some decisions that actually cost your life. They're accidents. That's why we call them accidents. But God's not into death. He's, in fact, it's the enemy that's still yet to be put underfoot. It's what the scripture says. It's what Paul said. The last enemy to be put underfoot is death. Wow. It's not a friend. It's not a gift. It's not God's goodness. No, death is an enemy. It's a bad deal. Now, it's going to be a release for us to go to heaven, thank God. But it wasn't God's plan that you die. Death is a result of sin. But one day death will have no sting and grave will have no victory. And there will be no more death. And there will be no more dying. That's when God will take over the earth again. But so far he hasn't. So far he's just doing it in stages through us. He's doing it as we pray for one another and spread his love and spread the kingdom. And there's going to be judgment. Judgment's coming, but it hadn't come yet. I mean, there's a judgment day coming. But God's not judging you every day, every time you do something wrong or somebody does something wrong. Wow. Classic case here in John 9. This helping you? I just want you to think about it. I mean, you might get mad and upset. That's okay. At least think about it. Think about it. I love you. You're supposed to love me. You have to. John 9, verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, saw a man who was born blind from his birth. Oh, there you go. Man, his parents must have really done something. This man born blind. See how cruel this is and how ridiculous this thinking is that your sin caused this to happen? Well, how do you explain babies born? How do you explain babies born with diseases and all kinds of abnormalities? How in the world do you reconcile that? God didn't do that. See, that's the thing. You can't make God out to be the one that makes that happen. God didn't mark that baby. That's a bad deal. And you need to pray for those parents. And my hat's off to every parent that raised a baby with problems like that. I mean, we ought to undergird them and do what we can to help them with and encourage them and pray for them. Are you with me? I think it's honorable that, you know, that parents continue to raise children like that. My goodness, what love, what compassion. But if they could do anything to make that baby normal, they would. And you would too, and I would too, and hospitals would, and scientists would, and doctors would. If we could, we would. We'd do that. That's not God. No, that's the world we live in. And sometimes it's a very cruel world. But God's a good God. And if God could do away with all that, I believe he would. But see, to do that, he'd have to take all your will away from you. Well, you could never, ever do anything wrong, and no one could ever, ever shoot anybody. No one could ever, ever holler at anybody or make a mad, you know, be mad and upset. No one could ever abuse anybody, sexually abuse a child, or no one could ever rape someone. No one could ever steal. No, you have to take your will completely away from you. And God loves you too much to let that happen. Are you with me? Because God wants to dance. But he didn't want to dance with a robot. He doesn't want to dance with a mannequin. And he didn't want to pay you to dance. He wants you to dance with him freely. And there's cost with that. There's a risk with that. That's what's going on in the world. And he took a great risk with Adam when he made him. And Adam blew it. And you know, he still didn't give up on us. He still sent Jesus down here to redeem us and pull us back out of this mess that Adam got us into. In Adam all die. In Christ all are made alive. By man came death. By man came the resurrection of the dead. Jesus. Woo, good stuff. Amen. Amen. So he says this. I'm trying to wrap this up. I want to get you out in plenty of time. It's Mother's Day. And goodness, I don't want mamas upset with me. Because when mama's not happy, nobody's happy. As Jesus passed by, saw a man who was born blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, classic question, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Now here's where it gets a little confusing. He said, but the works of God should be revealed in him. In other words, some people interpret this and they'll say, well, he was born blind so that Jesus could heal him. But no, now that's not what he's saying, because if that were the case, then God made him sick so God could heal him. And that's a kingdom divide against itself. And that's where you have a hard time translating sometimes. You have to put things in context, okay? Now, what was the work of God? I must work the works of him, next verse. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with a spit, and he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus healed him. Now, we don't always do everything exactly like Jesus. If you have an eye problem, I'm not going to spit in the ground and rub it in your eyes. I'll just lay hands on you, because that's a way to do it too. Unless you really want me to, you know, but anyway. But the point is, what was the work of God? He said, we must work the works of God. The works of God was what? I work the works of him who sent me. I work the works of him that sent me. What was the work he did? Now, that's the context of it, right? So the work that God sent him to do was not the blindness. The work that God sent him to do was heal. And Jesus represented God and showed us God. Really, that word that in the Greek, there's a couple words translated that in the Greek. And this particular one means the actually saying the result of this should be. In other words, you're asking who sinned. You're trying to figure out what happened. What we need to do is take this opportunity now and do the work of God. Anytime you see a problem, you need to work toward fixing it instead of assessing who's to blame. It's like coming up on a wreck on the side of the road and somebody's laying over here crying out for help, and you're out with a tape measure measuring skid marks and the guy's dying in the ditch. Listen, if we want to assess a problem, we'll do that later. But right now, we need to help the guy. Right? In this case, the man didn't even sin. There's parents' sin. It wasn't a result of their personal sin. It was the world they lived in. It was just this broken world, the sin of Adam. Started that process. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to philosophize and spiritualize because someone's got sick and wonder what God's doing here and what if it's going to be for his glory or not? Or are we going to do the work of God, which is heal the man? That's God's work, not the blindness. Y'all catch it? Because if the blindness was God's work and the healing is God's work, we got a kingdom divided against itself, and that kingdom cannot stand. Y'all see that? That can't both be the work of God. And Jesus was very plain what was the work of God. He was sent to do the work of God. And what did Jesus do? Man, heal the sick, raise dead, cast out devils, stop storms. Never gave anybody a headache except the Pharisees. And that was their own fault. Amen? So I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you got snake bit last week. I got snake bit last week. I didn't for one second think was God doing anything to me at all. Never crossed my mind, still hadn't crossed my mind. That was a bad deal. If I see that snake, I'm going to kill it, and I'm going to kill every snake I see. That's what I always do with snakes. No good snake, but a dead snake. That's the way I look at it. But I was pulling grass without any gloves on, wasn't thinking, you know, it was my fault. It wasn't the devil's fault. It wasn't, hello. I believe the devil probably tried to kill me, but he couldn't do it. Amen. Because y'all were praying, and I was praying, and we were believing, and so here I am preaching. Amen. Maybe you had an accident. I don't know. Maybe something bad happened to you. Don't overanalyze that thing. Don't internalize all that. If you're doing something wrong, repent of it. You can't think anything. You know what? It's just a bad deal. Bad deal. Let's pray. Let's just pray and believe God. Amen? Let's just turn this thing over to the Lord and get out of it. You're in a ditch? Let's get out of the ditch. You're blind? Let's open up your eyes. Praise God. You're sick? Let's get healed. You got allergies? I don't know why. Lying devil, I hate the devil. I hate the devil and I hate everything he does with a righteous hate. Are you with me? Don't hate people, but I hate the devil. God's against the devil himself. But I'm for healing. I'm for getting better. You need to get a hold of getting up, staying up, or getting up. I'm never down. I'm up or I'm getting up. And quit all that over analysis. Don't get paralysis of analysis. Okay? Don't get decidophobia. What am I going to do? We're going to trust God's what we're going to do. We're going to believe God because God is good. Amen. Always has been and always will be. Stand up with us. Give the Lord a shout and hand clap. Praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, the man got healed. Hallelujah. That was the work of God. Yes, ma'am.